Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by Mobius Strip Press. I am G.R. Mobley. If you go to my site, reclaimingtherepublic.org, you will have access to my content and support documents and links. This is an educational grassroots program leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. The show is also sponsored by reclaimingtherepublic.org. You are listening to the only show that asserts a constitutional solution to getting the general government back into the framework of the Constitution. And as you hopefully listen to the dialogue on my podcast, today's show, and future shows, I think you'll begin to garner that this show is dedicated in supporting state legislators who are willing to commit to protecting their citizens from federal tyranny. A part of this dedication is also, as far as the show goes, a part of this dedication of this show also goes out to the county grassroots leaders, because they are the ones that should be controlling their brand and should be controlling their representation. This means that as we get people to commit to protecting their constituents from federal tyranny, they in turn will be protecting all of us from federal tyranny, because once one person stands up against Goliath, then they're actually standing up against Goliath for all of us, not just for the one. Especially in contact or in context to Republic Review and the auditing of the Constitution. So that's why it's really important that I get you to start understanding these concepts and these principles. As I went through the news today, and as much news as there was, there is still no sign or news that the federal government is disbanding any of its tyrannical roles, responsibilities, and powers. Now, I will be honest, and I try not to marginalize all of the good things that Trump is doing. He is helping buy us time, but I'll make a point of this later. But the bottom line is they're not disbanding any of these departments or any of these offices or any of these agencies that are unconstitutional. The only way that will happen is when the states stand up and demand that that occur. And so I will also state that I need your help in doing this. I am a one-man show. I've got lots of people helping me. And as they officially come on board, I'm going to start posting all of this information. And I will, you know, I won't be claiming I'm a one-man show. I've got lots of people really behind me. But I need other leaders like you. You that are passionate and patriotic enough to listen and learn. Because this is not rocket science, folks. This is people look at the Constitution as if it's some difficult thing to read, and it really isn't. It's really not that hard to read, and it's not that hard to piece things together. You just have to take a little time, and we become so apathetic in spending a minute of time to try to learn something. How many of you actually, when you get something to assemble, how many of you really go through the owner's manual or the installation instructions? You just start putting things together because you can figure it out. You don't need the stinking manual. That's how impatient we are. And so that's a systemic problem. And it's really important to look at the owner's manual of liberty, which is the Constitution. Now, it's Friday. I want you to know that I do have a standing question that I kind of have put out there for Monday through Thursday. Last Friday, I said, hey, okay, if you've got an open question, by all means, let's have an open question Friday instead of me kind of harping on the one constitutional question that I have. So if you have any constitutional questions, government, policy, political questions, and if it's within my milieu or bag of tricks or what have you, then I will help answer and help solve that problem or question for you. But I also need to remind you that the Red Pill Expo is coming closer and closer. We're one day closer to June 21st, 22nd, and 23rd. And I would highly encourage, this is a beautiful place to come up in the Readout area. It is a big city in the middle of a very rural area. It is the largest city between Seattle and Minneapolis, and that's why the healthcare community is well over 20%. And so there's lots of people that come here for health and so forth. And so you'll see lots of hospitals and stuff when you come here. But I will tell you, you will want to make this trip. This is going to be a good trip. I've been having great conversations with Mr. Griffin regarding the Red Pill Expo, the Red Pill University, as well as Republic Review. And so I hope that there are still available tickets for you out of the first 350. And if not, I'm sorry you missed your opportunity, but they had a certain package and hopefully it's still available where you can get the DVD album of last year's Red Pill University as well. Now, as far as the news, everybody knows and they've heard about the school shooting. And if you've listened to the show, we've covered a couple of school shootings already, and I will cover this school shooting in more detail on Monday. But I will tell you, as I've covered this before, I'm going to remind you that we don't have a gun problem. What we have is a school problem. What we're dealing with is a byproduct of social engineering as they have demoralized and debased our society and have taken religion out of school. This has been a very methodical process. They knew this would be the outcome and they didn't care because this was another mechanism or another tool that they could try to use in making those who wanted to cling on to their guns look bad and shame you for, look at all these kids that are dying because you've got guns. And they're obfuscating the reality and truth. The reality and truth is that they've actually taken away the morals and they've not only demoralized, but they've immoralized. We have a nation of moral turpitude. We are so debased and we're looking at glorifying and elevating self-gratification and all sorts of perversions and all manner of immorality in the education system. You cannot do those things without having ill effects on society. And this is the ill effect in our society, where people will literally have no compunction and again, no moral conscience in what they are doing. And it's all about agendas. It's all about how they feel instead of self-discipline. And that's why I've been telling you about enlightenment. That's why I've been telling you about the Platonists and what the communists have been trying to do here in America and around the world. And so I'll even talk about more of this because I wanted to continue my dialogue on what a conservative is and Platonism and how these things are affecting us. We need to get our heads on right, and we have to start taking back this Constitution, this Republic. And in doing so, we will take back education. We will take back our health care. We will take back energy. We will take back every role, responsibility, and power that has never been delegated to the federal government. And we will put it back into the hands of the states who have the most interest in ensuring we have a strategy that will meet our needs over the next thousands of years, instead of allowing the federal government to use it as a tool to manipulate us and the world. And that's what's been happening, bottom line. And so I know that if you want to call and talk about it, by all means, it is Open Friday. And so it's a circumstance of events, but I would much rather hear you tell me what you think the systemic problem is and why we're having mass shootings and why we're having all sorts of immorality running through, because murder is a very immoral state and crime is a very immoral state. And these are the symptoms of what happens when we take morality out of our society. And so I'll be talking more about this as we move forward. I will also say, as I've said, that Trump has been doing good things. And now that he's put the defunding of abortion on the table and moving forward with basically saying he will pull the funding for abortion on any clinics that recommend abortions, I want to tell you this is a good thing. But let's be honest, the problem is this doesn't solve the problem. And what is happening is this is a temporary solution. And it'll always be temporary until the states draw a definitive line that the federal government has no jurisdiction or powers in these matters. Okay? Because bottom line, it is our Constitution. It is not the federal government's. They've been empowered to do very specific things within that instrument, and that is it. And you've been hearing this from the ratification debates, from the Federalist Papers, and many of the words from the federal, or I should say, the framers right here on the show. Go through my podcast. That's why I say you really need to download these podcasts so that you can start stitching this all together, because the epiphany will occur as you listen more and more to this show. And again, I want to thank everybody, because I've been watching the numbers and our numbers are going up. And as our numbers go up, that means the message is getting out. And as this message gets out, that means people start learning that there is an alternative solution to the just, you know, letting the Republicans run ruckshaw over our country. Instead of the party system, we have to take back the party. And as you understand, listening to this show, I talk about how we take back that party, because the party has to be ruled at the county level. And the county level has to boil up to the national level. The national level should be responsive to the counties, not vice versa. And somehow, over the past few decades, they've been running ruckshaw, like I've been saying, all over this country. And that has been very bad, because we have been the party, the Republican Party, or the constitutionalists, have been the party of compromise, and they have been compromising your constitution and your liberties for several days, for a century now. And so, well over a century. So we will get back. As you can tell, I'm at a hard break. So we will be right back after our sponsor and a few promos, and we'll be right back into Republic Review. Did you know your overall health is connected to your dental health? As you get older, this becomes more and more important. If you're like me, going to the dentist can be terrifying. So for me to maintain my dental and overall health, I need a great dentist and staff who are sensitive to my fear, pain, and even my fear of the cost of dental work. This is why it took me almost 2 years to find a great dentist after moving into this area. Bottom line, I need a great dentist just to get into the chair, even for a regular cleaning. This is why I personally recommend Dr. Vaughn Tracy as not only a great dentist, but a great patriot and a dentist who cares about your comfort and health. You can find him at VaughnTracyDDS.com. That's VaughnTracyDDS.com. Then you can agree with me, it's great to have a great dentist. I've been on the radio for a couple of years, and for over a decade, I have been providing content to help patriots understand what has to be done if we're going to save our Constitution and our Republic. Not one academic has been able to refute my argument for Republic Review, and even most conservative entertainers will not support Republic Review due to self-interest reasons. If you have not read my bullet point descriptions and executive summaries, you need to, so that you can understand what we all need to do. I am trying to give patriots the necessary knowledge to take back our Constitution and Republic. Go to reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can read my bullet points and view the Republic Review flowchart. You can even order my executive summaries, books, and other content to understand the simplicity of what we have to do. This way, you will know what, why, and how to support the reclaiming of our Republic. Again, please take a look at my content on reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can become a part of the solution. Reclaiming the Republic is more than an educational radio show. My intent is to also work with you and local leadership to promote matters of the Constitution and self-governance. This way we can all promote constitutional awareness within our communities and with our elected officials and public leaders. If you love liberty and sovereignty and recognize the federal tyranny that is threatening our lives, then we are asking for your help. And here are a few ways you can help. Spread the word about this radio show, Reclaiming the Republic. It is the only radio show in the world asserting a constitutional solution to federal overreach. Download and share our podcasts and content. Read, like, follow, and share our Mobiusstrip Press and Reclaiming the Republic pages on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at Mobiusstrip News. Get informed about local groups in the area and get involved. Most importantly, become a constitutional warrior with your local leaders and demand that they begin applying constitutional tests to what they are doing and who they are supporting. Thank you. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with Republic Review, they can enforce compliance to their Constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as Republic Review. Please read my argument for Republic Review as well as my description of the Republic Review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how Republic Review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you.
Okay, so the number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK or 215-867-8255. Do not forget my three C's when you dial in. And let's get on with the dialogue.
And like I said, I will address, I believe, the systemic problem that our society has and why we're dealing with such immorality and such repugnant behavior as kids and people killing children, just doing mass shootings and those types of things. It absolutely has no logic to it other than it is a byproduct of social engineering, period. And just putting guns at school and having armed guards and protecting kids is strictly a band-aid to the real problem, because society is going to continue to get worse and worse as we allow the secular progressives to dominate the narrative and monopolize thought as well as the curriculum in our education system. And that doesn't just mean from kindergarten to high school. That goes all the way through higher education. Even our lawyers are being taught, and they're not even learning the Constitution. They're only learning case law, which is unconstitutional, and they believe in this concept of constitutional law, which is unconstitutional as well. There's no such thing as constitutional law. It's either in the Constitution or it's not. It's a simple contract, and contracts do not beget law. They basically dictate what you can do, what you can't do, and that is it. So, I have some good news. I have, I believe, a candidate in the Oklahoma race for state legislator that is looking at committing to the Constitution. And if this fine person, I don't want to say gentleman or lady, if this fine person decides that they want to commit to protecting their citizens, they're basically coming out and saying, I want to protect America and the Republic from federal tyranny, because that's exactly what happens. That's why I kind of introduced the show that way, because state legislators that are standing up against the Goliath of the federal Leviathan, what they're doing is they're basically becoming the David to slay Goliath for all of us, not just for their own constituents within their legislative district. So this is big news. And sadly, I have nobody so far. And it's not that I haven't been trying. It's just that I've got a lot of irons in the fire working with lots of different people. I am probably way overworked. And maybe I'll have a mental breakdown and collapse one of these days. But hopefully that's well after the election and well after Republic Review is well underway. Well, with that, let me just keep moving on. So I like to preface everything by putting things into context. So let me repeat, as I always do, if we are not using the Constitution to fight our battles, then we risk almost certainty in losing these battles. Therefore, the only defense that we can have that will save us is the Constitution. And the only weapon that will destroy our enemies and their evil progress is the Constitution. It's really that simple, folks. I know there's these tacky but very accurate quips, you know, the Constitution is the solution and those types of things. And I wanted to add a little bit more, I think, clarity to that by identifying that the Constitution should be our weapon and our defense. I would love to tell you a lot about what's going on in Wyoming, but I will tell you that I've been having a lot of success reaching out to Wyoming. And as I've been telling you, and as I will assert, there's not just Wyoming. I believe the Dakotas, even though I may have this little barrier in the political fray, I do need to get into the counties of those two states, as well as Kansas, and I need to get into Utah. I've kind of already gotten into Idaho somewhat, and Idaho's already gone. It's past that primary's done, and being able to impact the future of the election is going to be very difficult, getting people to commit to the Constitution, because if a politician does not have to commit because their electorate does not demand it, then they will get away with as much ambiguity that they possibly can, because then they can serve themselves a lot more than being held accountable to commitments to their constituents. You know, I'm going to take an oath, and yeah, that ought to be good enough. Yeah, right. I would like to see you tell that and explain that to the Idaho citizens who are living under all the federal tyranny that they are and how you're doing nothing about it. But I don't want to rant on Idaho right now. bottom line is I'm having some real successes in Wyoming. And what I am doing is so much different than the Convention of States folks, and what's so much different from the JBS and all these different people that are out fighting these fringe battles and so forth. I am actually getting involved in trying to help the Republican parties, reel in their employees, because technically, who are the Republican Party employees at the county level? It's the legislators. It is those people that they endorse and get elected, right? I mean, every single candidate has to go to the party at the grassroots level and say, will you endorse me? Now, at the national level, it's a little bit different, but what should be happening in the party system should be starting at the bottom at the grassroots level and boiling up. And it's not happening that way. That's why every Republican Party in the United States is not, at least that I'm aware of, and if you are actually taking a proactive approach, you call me. If you're the county chair and you've already engaged your future employees 2 years ago before this election has even started, then you are spot on, because that's how it has to be done. So after this election, I'm telling every county chair, please, I'm pleading and begging, please review those candidates who won, identify whether they're constitutional or not. You start delineating your expectations and telling them, hey, you've got to take an oath. We expect you to honor that oath. We expect you to not succumb to taking unconstitutional federal dollars, policies, programs, blah, blah, blah. And we expect you to hold the line in protecting us, period. And by doing that, you've drawn that line, and you're actually going to start elevating. You're going to see the tone of politics change in America. We're going to change the landscape, and we're going to do it at the bottom level, and we're going to light this nation on fire, and it's going to start in the red states. And so Wyoming is my biggest focus, and why? I've told many people this over and over again. Wyoming is the center target because it has a 10-to-1 ratio of conservatives or Republicans to the communists or Democrats. And so that makes sense, that if there's any state that will quickly recognize the authority and power and their ability to save the republic, it would be Wyoming. I truly believe that still within the DNA of good citizens, especially Wyoming and all of these red states, within their DNA is the Constitution. And they will quickly recognize when they start looking at my argument, Republic Review, and those details. People get it. People actually get there. There are people that don't want to fight me. They'll just actually run away because they don't want to abandon something they're so heavily vested in, whether that is the status quo of some of these other organizations or the COSP. Some of the COSP folks are just so invested in that. But actually, I've had better luck with the COSP folks because those guys are involved because they want to see change. They're tired of the status quo because since 1958, with one organization who's been supposedly fighting communism and supposedly fighting this war against this movement, we've been sliding closer and closer to communism. What kind of grade do you give that organization when we're literally at the edge of falling over into socialism and global government? Can't be an A. I wouldn't give them a B. Anyway, I'll let you come up with what that letter grade is. But bottom line, we have to stop going down the status quo course. We have to just stop electing people because they've got a Republican label to them. We have to hold greater tests and hold greater standards to who is going to represent us. It's not a matter of whether they're just blemish free and they can't be excoriated by the progressive press. We need that, but we need them to have constitutional convictions and understanding that oath that they have to take. Therefore, we have to literally take over. We have to stop progressive tyranny and this PC political correctness shaming that's going on. That's happening in Wyoming right now. I've already talked about John Burberry, and there's a county chair that I talked to that they're trying to shame because she was trying to express her religious expressions on her Facebook page, and they were excoriating her for this. And I'm going, you've got to be kidding me. That is political correctness and shaming, and they're going after, and they're completely intolerant. And I have to finish this rant after we come back from the break because I've had a heartbreak. So please stay tuned, and I'll be right back after this. Thank you so much. Are you a patriotic proprietor of a business that is looking to get exposure on a fast-growing program? How would you like to get exposure on the only program on the air that provides an actual constitutional solution to all the federal government overreach and encroachments? If you understand the importance of educating the electorate, we would love to work with you in growing your business and revenues while you support the airing of our content on this station. Your support goes to growing the reach of this show and does not pay for elaborate salaries or highfalutin lifestyles. This show is growing fast, and we're also planning on airing the content about Republic Review on a video medium soon. If you'd like to be a part of history and the growth of the most relevant and result-oriented show on the air anywhere in the world, then just email me at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can lock in exceptional pricing and great advertising opportunities. Most of my listeners understand the importance in having strategic goals, but do you have a long-term strategy for your dental health? Too many people are only focused on whitening their smile. I understand the appearance of your teeth can give you confidence, but this can risk your future health in only addressing the cosmetics of your teeth, and many dentists will take your money just to do this. They say failing to plan is planning to fail, and if you don't have a long-term strategy for your teeth and dental health, then you need a new dentist. Every dentist provides a dental plan, but Dr. Tracy and his staff develops a strategy to help you maintain and restore your dental health to what it needs to be. To develop a strategy in maintaining your dental health, connect with Dr. Von Tracy, DDS.com. That's VONTRACYDDS.com. So you too can develop a strategy in maintaining your dental health. The reason progressives are effective in instituting their policies is because they are united ideologically, financially, and socially. In addition, almost every billionaire in the world is funding a vast array of different groups, and these groups' efforts are to undermine our republic and our Constitution. If you don't believe me, just Google donors to the Open Society Foundations. The only way we're going to successfully combat these efforts and take back our liberties, like our education system, healthcare, state lands, housing, labor, and many other roles, responsibilities and powers that belong to the states, is by you and I and local businesses getting involved in supporting political programs and efforts based on constitutional principles. The best way to do this is supporting result-oriented organizations designed to take back our lost liberties. The ultimate result-oriented effort is Republic Review. So please consider contributing to the show and the organizations and activities that we are supporting by going to reclaimingtherepublic.org and go to the contribution page, and you can become a listed supporter of liberty. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station.
That number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK, 215-867-8255. And again, don't forget those three C's. And if you're ready to call in, the lines are open.
And I know going into the break, I was just going into this whole rant about progressive tyranny, PC shaming, and so forth. But I want to go, I do a do-over, or I actually go back to something I was saying regarding progressives and how they get it and how we are duty bound by our oath. I would love to see states start instituting a policy that requires people that are going to become a registered voter. I would require that they take the oath of citizenship, because that is an implied oath for all people at birth. And I believe that it would be incumbent. And it's just a no-brainer that a state would say, you know what? We want all of our citizens to support and defend the Constitution, the one thing that protects all of our liberties. Who wouldn't want that? I can tell you that the progressives will actually squirm and they will try to figure out a way to undermine that. But I believe that would start sending a message so that everybody would understand their duty when they're voting, that they have an obligation to protect and defend the liberties and the Constitution that guarantees those liberties, as well as they go and vote in that poll, that they should not be voting for things that undermine that Constitution. I think it will resonate in everybody's mind a little bit clearer now that they have to take an oath. So when kids turn 18, and if they want to go into voting and they want to become a voter, then that's fine. You just take this oath. There you go. And have somebody administer the oath at the DMV or whoever, at the sheriff's office. The sheriffs used to do the voting anyway. Back during the Constitutional Convention and the ratification, sheriffs had all that control. They were the ones that ran the voting polls at the seat of government. So anyway, let me get back into this rant that the progressives have been terrorizing us, and we've been at war for a long time, and we just haven't realized it. It's just like we've been at war with Islam since 623 or 630 AD. And so we have to start coming to grips with the fact that not everybody loves us and that not everybody thinks the same way that you do or I do, that we actually have really very stark differences between paradigms, between religious ideologies and so forth. That's why I was telling you all of this stuff yesterday in this show and why it's important to understand the paradigm of the framers. They didn't believe in religious freedom. What they believed in was protecting liberty and individual sovereignty, which was inherent and a part of the Christian faith and Christian enlightenment. And therefore, that's why they had bans on Jews and Buddhists and all other forms of religions in America. And I don't understand why they don't teach this in history, other than the fact that it actually clarifies the origins of America and it makes it hard for them to obfuscate the realities of our origins and our true DNA of the constitutional republic that the framers created. If you don't understand the ramifications and the implications that are coming from this PC correctness or the political correctness and the shaming and all of these things that they were doing and they're doing in Wyoming, I hope Wyoming and the rest of the red states are looking at what's going on in California. As soon as the progressives obtain enough control to where they're emboldened, they will run rickshaw over you. They have zero tolerance for your religious dogma. They have zero tolerance for any of your ideologies, and they will root you out and they will throw you in jail. They're coming close to passing a law in California that will ban the Bible. You cannot have the Bible in public. They're forcing transgender ideologies and secular ideologies in your school, and you cannot opt out of these educational courses. If you do, I think it's against the law, and they can come after you. They've made so many laws that have restricted your speech, restricted your fundamental rights of speech and religious expression, that they are running all over your First Amendment rights. And if you don't understand this, this is coming to you in Wyoming. This is coming to every state in this union if you allow them to gain this level of control. It's the same thing with Islam. Both the secular progressives, the communists, and Islam are very intolerant ideologies. Once they have a level of control, they will take over. And all of a sudden you said, well, why can't we coexist? Why can't we get along? How naive are we? We have to understand that this is a war and they're beating us by using tolerance. Go back and read Adam Weishaupt's Charter of the Illuminati. He actually spells it out that that's the tool they're going to use. And they're going to use education to take over us. And my, were they smart or no? And that's why, go back and listen to my podcast on Platonism. I cover all of this, that Plato, in his Republic, created the playbook and literally put it line by line by line of what they needed to do to move towards a statist government to where the state controlled every facet of our lives. I said this in the 80s when the homosexual war began, because that's truly when the war on heterosexuality and normalization of families and the war on families really began. However, I'll even go back to the normalization of this perversion or perverse ideologies actually began in the 60s and 70s. And if you start looking at the TV shows like Archie Bunker was the deliberate stooge that got everybody to create a stereotype that if you didn't like homosexuality, interracial marriage, and all of these other things, then one, you were a prude, you were ignorant, and you just didn't know anything. And that was Carol's role, is to be the idiot, because he's a flaming liberal and he wanted to be the one to help influence people to realize that that's just a bad thing to do, to have standards, ideals, and have mores in society. And so what they want is full control of your children and silence you from instilling your dangerous religious dogma and views on this highly impressionable kid. I've talked about this. I talked about this in my book about the teacher. And I'll say it again. There was a teacher in Florida that was getting really upset with the fact that these parents were trying to invoke, and I think it was over the Pledge of Allegiance or prayer in school. It was prayer in school. And this lady was saying, hey, we can't be having prayer in school because these kids are highly impressionable. Okay, then why is it that we're allowing them to teach any of the secular religion to them in school because they're highly impressionable? The reverse applies. They don't want us to maintain our Christian mores, and they're trying to shred them to bits. And when I say mores, I truly mean the societal mores that made America great that Alexis de Tocqueville talked about in his Democracy in America, as he recognized that the one thing that made America so much different than every other country and republic in Europe and around the world that he had traveled was because we embraced our faith fully. We had a nation that had hardly any laws. I was talking about this yesterday, and I'm going to talk about this more, that our nation was constrained by religious rules, by religious, if you want to call it dogma, but by religious restraint. We believed in, you know, forgiving one another, being tolerant. And by doing that, we allowed the devil or the genie out of the bottle, because we started allowing atheists to start testifying in court. You know, Joseph Story talked about why they didn't allow atheists and non-Christians in good standing to testify in court. He was the Supreme Court Justice of the Supreme Court. The Chief Justice of the Supreme Court. I wanted to get that right. And here he is explaining why Christians in good standing in their community were able to testify in the court system at that time. What's happened to our court system? Do you understand? We had a completely different nation than what you have learned about in school. So this senseless death in Texas is a direct result from the education system monopolizing on morality and secularism. Putting guns in school does not solve any problems. And as a matter of fact, taking guns out of our society will not solve this problem either. As I said a week ago or so, that look at Australia. Here is a society that has guns. They've banned guns altogether, and they had a mass shooting just a little over a week ago. So that's not the solution, folks. It is about maintaining morals and maintaining integrity, honor, and those types of things, and getting back to those principles. Again, this is not about guns. This is about abandoning morality for the secular progressive agenda. And as long as they can continue to control the narrative, then we will continue to hemorrhage as a society. And I truly mean this, folks. So that's why we have to control the narrative and take it to the progressives and say, this is happening because of our school system, not because of guns. I will be right back after a word from our sponsors. Thank you so much. It's that time of year to get that dental checkup and cleaning. I know many of us are creatures of habit, and we tend to settle for what we know, and many of us are procrastinators. I was that way myself with my past dentist, jumping from one dentist chair to the next. From all the hopping, I've learned that all dentists are not equal, and I would challenge you to consider checking out Dr. Von Tracy. I work hard to make a living, and I'm not one to throw my hard-earned money away on just a good dentist. That's why it took me a couple of years to find a great dentist. From the excellence of his staff to the quality of the work, Dr. Tracy is the difference. I know it's time to put standards to our loyalty, so I would ask you to give Dr. Tracy a try by setting up your next appointment with him. Just go to VONTRACYDDS.com or call them at 509-466-6614. Again, sign up at VonTracyDDS.com. I'm working with key leaders and patriots and setting up rodeos for Republic Review in Wyoming, Utah, South Dakota, Idaho, Kansas, and North Dakota for this election cycle. We're trying to promote engagement between you and your public servants so that you can start demanding their fulfillment of their oath of office to support and defend the Constitution. If you're beginning to understand what Republic Review can do and how it works, then America needs your help. More importantly, if you live in one of these states or know any patriots or patriotic leaders like an elected official, a grassroots leader, or someone who is politically active, then please reach out to me on Facebook or email me at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org. We know that if we can get a strong attendance by both the candidates and the electorate, we will make an impact. It is our intent to get one and hopefully all of these states to call for Republic Review. If we can get this audit process started, I promise you we will make America great once and for all. I've been on the radio for a couple of years, and for over a decade, I have been providing content to help patriots understand what has to be done if we're going to save our Constitution and our Republic. Not one academic has been able to refute my argument for Republic Review, and even most conservative entertainers will not support Republic Review due to self-interest reasons. If you have not read my bullet point descriptions and executive summaries, you need to so that you can understand what we all need to do. I am trying to give patriots the necessary knowledge to take back our Constitution and Republic. Go to reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can read my bullet points and view the Republic Review flowchart. You can even order my executive summaries, books, and other content to understand the simplicity of what we have to do. This way, you will know what, why, and how to support the reclaiming of our Republic. Again, please take a look at my content on reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can become a part of the solution. To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process.
Okay, if you want to join in on the dialogue, you need to call 215-TOP-TALK. That's 215-867-8255.
So here's your last shot. This is the last segment before we go into the weekend. And I want you to know, this is why I harp on secularism and Platonism so much. Yesterday, I was defining a conservative and how ambiguous this term is. This is and was and will be a progressive label as long as we're willing to wear it. They are trying to make people who love God and people who worship God and who have morals look bad. What they're trying to do is shame us with this political correctness. How dare you? How dare you have that kind of dogma? Those are biases and so forth. I've talked about the controls on religion, decency of speech, and the consequences of dishonoring a person. And I got into those details. I mean, Alexander Hamilton himself was shot over a duel over his honor. But these controls were not by government back in those days. They were by the mores of society and our fundamental Christian values and faith. And that we all learned to practice, and it was innate within our society. These things were fundamental principles, and it was fundamental in the founding of this republic. Now, one can begin to see how we have strayed from faith, and we can also see how we've strayed from enlightenment, because enlightenment and faith were entwined. There was no separation between one's faith and one's pursuit. As a matter of fact, I believe it was Sir Isaac Newton who said that anybody who is using science to disprove God is no longer in pursuit of science. They're only in the pursuit of self-aggrandizing man. And so, I mean, he really articulated it well, that as creatures and benefactors from the great creator, because that's exactly what the framers used to consider themselves as, the benefactors of the creator, that we're obligated to pursue open and honest dialogue. But what ends up happening is, as people start going down this path of pursuing man's desires and man's pursuits in science and all of these other things, it creates an ideological war. And so in doing this straying, we begin debasing society and abandoning those things that made America the success that it was. That enlightenment of discipline, that enlightenment of restraint. I talked about the freedom of the press yesterday as well. I've talked about it before. And in one way, there was censorship, but in some ways, it was more responsible journalism than censorship in many cases. But censorship has been practiced then and even more so today. The stark contrast is that the censorship in academia, as I've been saying, in the education system is likely one of our biggest problems, because they will not allow creation, Christianity, prayer, or anything like that to step foot in their schools. It has to be the secular progressive religion. They've been pushing this religion down our throats for well over a century, and they've been violating the First Amendment of the Establishment Clause in doing this. And the Supreme Court, as I've said before, is the enforcers of this dialogue and of this ideology. In a way, what was once moral restraint in the press is now immoral restraint. You can call it censorship as well. But by those who control the narrative are, in essence, controlling the thoughts and ideas of society. So what is it today that a conservative would refer to as traditional values? Based on what I see, is the voting records of politicians who claim to be conservative Christian or just conservatives, and I'm not sure what I would call a constitutional champion in any of these. I just don't see them. They talk about the Constitution, they talk about the rule of law, but they're applying all sorts of unconstitutional laws and unconstitutional roles, responsibilities, and powers, and so forth. So either they don't understand the Constitution, or they're just trying to fool you into believing that they are constitutional. As I see it today, the conservative is one who has adopted too many of the left or secular progressive principles or mores. These are those who simply vote the party and are silent as the Republicans and their fellow Republicans institute progressive programs and policies. Now, I know that within the party itself, at the grassroots level, this is a minority in the party, but it is a major minority. In other words, let's say you got demographics and you've got all these different minorities. The largest minority in those demographics, you know, is the major minority. And in this particular case, across the board in the Republican Party, the minority and it is a major minority, are rhinos and progressives wearing the R. That's why I keep talking about the importance of controlling the brand and taking control and having better vetting systems. It's not just about making sure that, you know, this guy doesn't wear women's underwear. This guy has done bad things, you know, to people. He's been a bully, whatever it is. It's not just about that. This guy has to understand, or this gal has to understand, whoever's going to represent us, they have to understand the importance of individual liberty, individual sovereignty, and the constraints within the Constitution. So when things come down from the federal level with money strings attached on road calming, whatever, EPA, if those things are tied to unconstitutional roles, responsibilities, and powers, we have no business taking it, and we have no business doing business with the general government that is extending itself and encroaching upon states' roles, responsibilities, and powers. I hope that makes sense. But I know that these people in the Republican Party are not an outlier, and in other desperate groups or disparate groups of people, they are gaining in number. As I interface with many constitution-loving people in these dark red states, they tell me how they see a rise of rhinos and establishment supporters in the Republican Party in their area, like Wyoming. And I'm going to tell you, folks, they're seeing this swamp coming into them. And the only way that they can start changing things is actually drawing the line. And as a matter of fact, they have to start seeking PCOs to start competing with other PCOs. They have to start developing and nurturing good constitutional people throughout the county and the grassroots. I am fed up with my county that I live in because I look at the establishment and the way they have no interest in understanding, learning, and trying to center themselves on the Constitution. And it's a breath of fresh air. Excuse me, I get ahead of myself. It's a breath of fresh air to see a bigger county next to me being willing to take on and become centric on the Constitution and becoming centric on these principles of individual liberty and sovereignty. This is where we need to evaluate the dialogue, and at the heart of this is the platform of the party. We have to start centering that platform on the Constitution. As I have examined platforms at the state and local levels, too many of these platforms have adopted to big government or non-constitutional government instead of beginning a rigid support of the Constitution. In other words, I've seen too many that, you know, say, hey, you know, we believe healthcare, you know, shouldn't be doing this. I mean, it's almost like they are validating unconstitutional government in these platforms. Start looking at these platforms with a very discerning eye. That's how we have to start taking back the heart of the grassroots, because once the grassroots starts establishing good, firm, solid constitutional platforms, those bubble up to the state, which then will then drive and bubble up to the national level. And as the national level bucks this, then we get rid of those at the top, because the force is with us. Because we have the grassroots, we have the people, and as Madison said, we have the heart and minds of the people's interest at, you know, in our hearts. And those who are trying to rule the party, the factions, and the big government concepts, they have no interest over these people. They will try to buy them off, they will try to corrupt them, and that's what they do, and that's why we see corruption in the states. We can stop this, folks. We can turn this around. Republic Review will be that process. Consequently, as people look at the platform and as they keep moving and start believing in supporting the Constitution, you will see over the years the Platonists will be continuing to try to shift their focus from local and regional to national and centralized governments, but they're going to be coming back in the grassroots as well. And so we're at war. They've declared the war a long time ago, and we're just finally waking up to this. And the only mechanism, the fast silver bullet in shutting down secularism and the global governance and us moving into that direction as a nation and as a republic, is Republic Review. I hope you take a good look at my website. Go to reclaimingtherepublic.org. Right there on the homepage, I have all my bullets. I have the model. I want you to read the bullets of my argument, and the process of Republic Review, and you will get it. All I need is one state. I don't need 34. Once I get one state standing up, the rest of the Davids will join him. And with that, I am G.R. Mobley. We're out of time, and I will be back next week on Monday. God bless.